Our scripture reading for tonight is Hebrews 11:13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city.
Good evening, church. It's good to be with you and to share with you this evening. Ran across a wonderful story of a preacher who met three boys out on the street playing catch. And he walked up to the three boys and said, do you want to go to heaven? And one of the little boys very quickly said, not me. And the preacher said, he was kind of shocked. And he said, you don't want to go to heaven when you die? And he said, oh, when I die. Oh, yeah, sure. I thought you were getting up a load for right now. I think that's the way many of us are. We would like to go to heaven, but we're not really looking forward to it that much. Our text is one of those that continues this study of faith. You'll remember we began by looking at faith. Now, faith is the King James, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we talked about how it is that faith undergirds our hope, and faith proves events that we've never seen. And then we looked at three characters in the Old Testament who were important characters of faith very early on before the flood, up to the flood, in fact. We looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah, and then we spent some time looking at good old Abraham. Today we're going to pick up in a text that really begins, that we read together just a few moments ago, that begins as a kind of interim in between. But he starts talking about Abraham, and then in the middle of that, he interrupts his discussion of Abraham with some general remarks about all these people. And he talks about these people who have died in faith. He's really talking about the folks he's talked about already. He's really talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, but really paving the way for the others that he's going to discuss next. And I think that's important for us to see. The patriarchs are important characters. They didn't receive. They put their faith in God. God has promised what he's going to do, but they don't get to see those promises. You know, it's something they never live long enough to see. And so they're waiting for those. They exercise this faith as they're looking for what has been promised to them. They showed that they knew themselves to be more than that. There was something more about who they were. And so that, I think, is important for us. You'll notice they're seeking a country of their own. They would have had opportunity to go back if they wanted to. They could have gone back home again. They're living at a distance, and they could have gone back. And we'll see that in just a few moments. I'll talk about that in the next few verses. But it's interesting, they're seeking a country of their own. It's really interesting. The word in the original there has the word father in it. They're seeking a fatherland. That sounds like German to us. A fatherland, a land that is their own, that's their heritage. They're seeking this special heritage. And so we read on. Indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He prepared a city for them. Now, you can imagine how important it is. They could have gone back home again. Good old Abraham started out in Ur of the Chaldees, the big city in the day, and then he moved to Haran, and he could have gone back to any of those places. When it comes time to get a wife for his son, for Isaac, he doesn't even go back. He sends a servant to go get that wife for his son. He'll go back to his homeland, his fatherland, where they are, but he's seeking this place that God has in mind for him. And so he'll do that. Later on, good old Jacob will spend 20 years in Mesopotamia, and after spending time there, he's going to regard Canaan as his homeland. Canaan is still his homeland, Genesis 30 and 25. When it's time for Abraham to bury Sarah, he doesn't take her back home to Haran or to Ur. He buys a piece of property so he can bury her there, because that's now the place God has in mind for them. He himself will be buried there as well. And it's going to be really quite interesting, because not only will he be buried there, but so will Isaac and Jacob. Even Jacob, though he's been in Egypt and dies in Egypt, his family is going to take him back and bury him back in the homeland again. But they're seeking this land that is so important to them. It's one that God has in mind. God has prepared a city for them. Not he will prepare a city for them. He prepared it. It's already ready. It's been ready all along. You know, it's not like God says, okay, I think I'm going to bring some folks up to heaven. I'm going to get it ready for them now. It's been prepared all along. And so good old Adam, all the way to all of these other characters that we've looked at, all of them have this homeland that has been prepared for them, and they need to see the significance of that. And so they've got this special land. We read on in the following verses. Whoops, I went too far. There we go. Nope, that's it. I want to skip down to verse 20 now. Interestingly enough, we had this next section that talked about Abraham. We had Abraham and this little insertion, and then Abraham. And now we're going to look at the next characters who are really important. He begins, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come." He knew there was something yet to come. And he'll bless both sons. You'll remember Jacob buys the birthright from his brother when his brother sells it for a bowl of soup, a foolish thing to do. And then he'll trick him to get the blessing, but good old Isaac is going to bless them both. Interestingly enough, the blessing on Esau is almost more of a curse than it is a blessing, but they both get the blessing. And so he is looking forward to something that's on the other side. And then the next character of importance is Jacob. Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, this is really interesting. He's an old man, and so he's going to bless the two sons of Joseph. And when they get into the promised land, each of them is going to be deemed a tribe. And they're each going to get a piece of land, which will be important. Our text says, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, if you're reading this along in the book of Genesis, it's going to look a little suspicious, Genesis 47 and 31, because there it will say, leaning on the top of his bed. And you go, bed, staff? And a lot of folks are going to be real critical. Your Bible's got a contradiction. No, the difficulty is not that. What happened was, when the Hebrew Bible was originally written, it was written in all consonants. There were no vowels. Isn't that interesting? And along came some folks called the Masoretes in the 6th century A.D. That's a long time after it's written. In the 6th century A.D., they said, you know what? Our good Jews are going to forget how to pronounce this. We better put some vowels in. So they put little marks below and above to indicate what the vowels were. Interestingly enough, the word for bed and the word for staff have exactly the same consonants. And they goofed. They put the wrong vowels there. They have leaning on the head of his bed. The Greek translation of the Old Testament has leaning on the top of his staff. And our author of Hebrews says leaning on the top of his staff. He's reading a Greek New Testament as well. But they got it right. You know, when you think leaning on the top of your bed, you know, we have a head to our bed that you can lean on. Back then, you know how folks slept? You had a mat you rolled out. I'm sorry, no mattresses, nothing really nice like that. And so you're going to roll it out, and there's nothing to lean on. The picture here is indeed leaning on the top of his staff. He's an old man, and he has to lean on his staff, on his cane for us, because he's an old man. And yet, as an old man, he's preparing for the future, for his family, because he knows God has promised that through the descendants of Abraham and then Isaac, and now Jacob are going to come, these wonderful descendants who will be so important to the history of God's people. And so we read on. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Interestingly enough, next character, here's another man by faith. Do you notice every one of these is by faith? And every time it's by faith, they do something. By faith, he gives orders. He says, okay, when I die, I want you to take my bones back and bury them in the homeland. Because he knows God's got a plan. And he wants to be buried where God wants him to be buried. And so he's got those plans. And so they're going to take his bones back. And in fact, in the book of Joshua, you'll see them carrying those bones and putting those bones back in the area where the family grave is. And so he's going to be buried there just as he had given instructions. We read on. By faith, Moses. Now we're going to come to the character who's so important to us. Interestingly enough, Moses is mentioned 11 times in the book of Hebrews, more than any other book in the New Testament. He's going to be mentioned a lot because he's an important character for all Jews. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, notice whose faith it is this time. It's not his faith, right? It's by faith what mom and dad do. Mom and dad, by faith, say, you know, God's got a plan. And our son's a part of that plan. And so, by faith, they're going to hide him for 3 months. Now, I can't imagine hiding a baby for 3 months. You know, they're a little noisy when they're that age, but they're going to hide him away for 3 months. And then when the time comes, his mama's going to make that basket and put him in the river and have his sister to look after him. And off he goes to be taken care of. And they're not afraid of the king's edict. The king had said, there are so many of these Jews, they may line up with our enemies and may fight against us and we'll have a terrible time. And so he's killing all of the boys. And so they have faith. And all of that's important. And now we come back to our man Moses. By faith, when he had grown up, literally it's when he had become great. And I'm not sure whether it's grown up in terms of gotten old or whether he's become a great, important leader even. Because remember, he is deemed to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he may even have been in line to be the next Pharaoh. Wouldn't that have been interesting? And so when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. This is a wonderful text, and it's one that's really kind of strange to us. Here is good old Moses, and he realizes, I have a feeling his mama had told him, you're not really an Egyptian, you're a good Jew. And he's known it perhaps for a long time. He'll go to the field, you'll remember, and we'll see some of his people being beaten, and he will kill the man who was beating them. And so he's going to get into trouble for that. But he discovers that even though he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he decides, I don't want to be called that anymore. I'm a good Jew. I want to live by what I've been called to do. The part that I think is so interesting is he gives up the treasures of Egypt. You see, he was a man who had a real rank in the area. You know, he's going to be important. He could have been really important in Egypt. And he gives up being important for the reproach of Christ. Wait. How does he know there's going to be a Messiah? Yeah, you may remember, he's the guy who will say, there will be a prophet greater than I who will arise. He's the one who predicts, it's the first prediction about the Messiah other than what God says to the snake who has deceived Eve. This may be the second, at least, prediction of the coming Messiah. And he's waiting for God's deliverance. I'm going to lead them out of Egypt, but God has something better in mind. All of those animal sacrifices that we're doing according to God's order are not the real solution to the problem. God has something better in mind, and He knows that. Now, how much does He know about the Messiah? Probably not much. But he has this faith that God is in charge and that God will redeem them. And I think that's an important lesson. He's a fellow who understands the disgrace for the sake of Christ is greater than all of those riches in Egypt. He could have perhaps had his own pyramid built to him. But he gives all that up because of who he is. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. It's really interesting. He leaves Egypt. Now he leaves Egypt twice, and I'm not quite sure when this is. The first time he will leave Egypt because he has killed that taskmaster, and he's gone off because he's afraid of what might happen to him, and he'll go off to Midian, and he'll marry there, and he'll be there for 40 years. He's 40 years old when that happens, and then after 40 years there, God will come to him in that burning bush and tell him to leave, and he'll go to Egypt again. And this time when he leaves Egypt, even though Pharaoh says go, he knows Pharaoh's going to be after them. But he doesn't fear Pharaoh, the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing the one who is unseen. It's as if he's seen God. Now, he saw the burning bush, but he didn't really see God. And there are even some texts that will suggest that he sees the hind side of God, but he never really sees God. But he endures. He hangs in there. He doesn't give up. And that's what faith does for us. It keeps us ticking, keeps us going. And then this part is, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. And you'll remember that first Passover, they're going to get ready to leave the land, and they're going to sprinkle the blood over the doorpost, put the door on the doorpost, so that the firstborn of the Jews will not be killed. And indeed, it doesn't touch any of them. And so that's important. It's at that point we get another by faith. By faith, they. We just shifted from good old Moses to the folks who are with him. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through on dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. And so it is by faith that these good Jews will march through the Red Sea. Now, you got to imagine how scary an event that's going to be. God says, okay, I want you to march out there into the Red Sea, and it's the Red Sea, and they're going to be marching out, and as they walk out into the Red Sea, the water just parts, and it's like they're walking on dry land. But that's faith, right? Because you think you're going to step out there, and you're going to be swallowed by it. Interestingly enough, the folks who are chasing them, they're going to get to the other side, and God's going to have the water come back again, and it'll drown all of them. But God has been at work in the whole thing. So we see something wonderful at work as God is protecting them. Moses had nothing going on but the conviction that God had directed him. Clearly, it was faith that was his mainspring. It's been faith that has been the mainspring of all of these characters. And we're not done. We have more characters that we'll yet cover. And we've got at least one more lesson in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I hope you're enjoying this study in Hebrews 11. It's been a meaningful one for me to look at these characters. Old Testament stories reminds us so much of those stories that we grew up hearing. But it's really important for us to see what's happening here. God has done it. And it is by faith. And it's interesting. We began our section tonight with this phrase, by faith they died. By faith they died. Never receiving the promises. And for us, it's going to be the same way for most of us, unless the Lord comes back before we do die. We're going to die, and we won't have yet received the promises that God has in mind for us. Heaven is still waiting for us. And we too will die by faith, trusting God, knowing there is something on the other side, and knowing we've got a God there. Jesus has told us that He's gone to prepare a place for us, and it's all ready for us. And we're waiting to march there and to be saved. I think this is a wonderful text, and it's a wonderful chapter in the book of Hebrews. It's this wonderful book on faith, but especially this one chapter that we're spending so much time on, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we'll talk about some more folks who are going to live by faith, and a lot of characters that we'll just mention as we pass through, as we read the story, but I'll spend a little time talking about some of those characters to remind you of those Old Testament stories as we work our way through. We're going to sing an invitation song now, and it may well be that we have somebody who is ready to put their faith in God. You put your faith in Him. And you know, you've heard this whole, we talk about faith, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. You know, one of those things is believe. It is faith. Put your faith in God, and He will indeed redeem you. If you need to do that this evening, we'd be happy to do that. For the rest of us, we must put our faith in God. And if you have put your faith in God but not lived up to that, we'd be happy to pray with you. If you need to come, would you come as we stand?